Valentine's Day was yesterday. Ready to get your sweetie something or friend something or... No? Just another day, huh? Just another day. It's a day you're supposed to show someone how much you care about them, how much you love them. And we make that one special day to give cards and candy and flowers and the like to show how much we care about and how much we love someone. And now there is a lot of songs with the word love in it. You know, one I can think of is Can't Buy Me Love by the Beatles. But now Hershey's and Hallmark and a lot of them try. They're going to give it a shot. For several years they've been testing that theory. Several love songs, you know, think of them, you can go on and on. How deep is your, this is for Ralph's benefit, Ralph will know all the songs. How deep is your love? Love me tender. Do you love me? You've lost that love and feeling. The power of love, endless love. Can you feel the love tonight? Along with many, many others. Then there is one called There Goes Another Love Song. So they just continue love song after love song. So it's funny to talk to kids and ask kids, you know, generally a lot of time, well, what do you think, kids, about marriage? And how do you decide who to marry? And they asked some kids that were about 10 years old. 11. You're 11, okay. Or, well, these were 9 and 10, so you're above these 10-year-olds. So one of them says, well, says, you got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like, if you like sports, she should like sports, and she should keep the chips and wings coming. So, got to remember that. When asked if it's better to be a single or married, Anita, who was 9, she said, it's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need somebody to clean up after them. When asked how to make a marriage work, Ricky was 10. Ricky said, tell your wife that she looks pretty, even if she looks like a truck. And Kristen, age 10, answered, no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all, way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. A lot of times God does do that way before. He's got a plan in mind and brings two people together the way he has. So, oh, and there's always dreaming of what Valentine going to get, you know, what's going to happen. And the woman woke up, she had a dream and told her husband, said, I dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace for Valentine's Day. What do you think it means? He said, you'll know tonight. And that evening, he came home with a small package, and he gave it to his wife. She opened it to find a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. So, not all Valentine presents works out the way we like, the way we think. But Valentine, some different thoughts on how it started and things, but for the most part, started way back when Roman Emperor Claudius, Claudius felt like single men worked better in the army. He just wanted unmarried men in the army. Well, the men didn't really like that. They liked their girlfriends and their wives. And so Claudius set a rule. He said, no more marriages. Nobody's getting married anymore. I want single men in the army and for the battles. Well, there's this fella named Saint Valentine, and he kept quiet. But he did feel, you know, the Lord's call to help, and he felt people should be married, and he kept performing the marriage services undercover. So it was kind of secret until he got caught. And then he was thrown in prison. And while there, he married a few more people through the window and as best he could. And he became close friends with the daughter of the prison the guard that ran the prison. He became close friends, and he let her daughter visit him, and they became good friends, and she would show up and several visits and conversations and sharing with one another. And while he was in prison, there are some say that she had been blind and that he, through God, had healed her. so she could see. But they would talk often and visit often, and he ended up being executed. But before he was executed, he left a note thanking her for her friendship and her loyalty with him. And the note ended with love from your Valentine. And he was executed on February 14th of 269 AD. So that's kind of how Valentine started, and the Valentine note started. And, you know, and St. Valentine may have been famous for defying the emperor, but it was for marriage, but standing up for marriage. But what really made him a saint was that he received the love of Christ. You know, he loved Christ back, and he turned that love into love for others. And that's what we do, and through his life of service. And that's what we do. When you do that, you accept Christ, and you return that love of Christ, and then you turn that love to others around you, you're saints as well. You become a saint. We are all saints. Believers are saints. And I think we want this church, more than anything, to be a community of love, that we show love when people come in, that we show love to each other. You know, I want to come here, you want to come here, and feel that love amongst. We talked a little bit about downstairs. You know, you want a place you can go where you feel cared about, you feel loved, and you feel encouraged and lifted up. You know, and Jesus said nothing's more important than that. Nothing's more important than loving God and loving people. So we need to do that. We need to show that. We need to act that out. It's not just going to be in a bulletin or on a wall or on the bulletin board. It's something that's in our hearts that we do love one another. And if we do that, we'll be the church that God wants us to do, because the church is the people. It's not this building. The church is the people. It'll bring in people looking for love, and that brings in an opportunity for salvation. I'm going to read, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's 13 verses. We're going to read all 13 verses. It's a lot of times done at weddings. Kind of defines love. What it takes for love. What love is and what love isn't. He starts 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. He said, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now the three of these remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And the greatest of that's God's love. You know, he set up men and women to love each other in the marriage, but the love of God taken in by us and shared is the highest form of love we can have. You know, go back to the definitions of what love is. Love is patient. You check those out in your life. Love is patient. You know, love puts up with people that a lot of people would find easy to give up on. But love doesn't give up on people. Love keeps helping. Love keeps, I don't want to say putting up with, but putting into, you know, investing into people. Love doesn't give up. Love is kind. Kind of go back to the do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It does not envy. Love isn't jealous. Joy comes when others have success, that others do things, just like the basketball team or the wrestler. And others, you know, his teammates have a joy for him. Maybe they didn't make it, but that doesn't make their joy for him less. You know, that's a love for that person. You're lifting them up. You know, it does not boast. It is not proud. It's when you have an understanding that all I have and all I am is from God. You know, He gave me everything. He follows me. He leads me. You know, it's not anything that I've accomplished in and of myself. Nothing that man has accomplished. So there's nothing to boast about, because it's all God. It does not dishonor others. Again, it shows courtesy and compassion and kindness to others. It is not self-seeking. Don't have the opportunity for me number one. That's not what it's about. It's placing the good of others before ourselves. Love puts others before ourselves. It's not easily angered. There's a lot of slights and insults of this world that are hard not to overlook, but love allows us to overlook those things and to take those things and move on and give those things to God and not keep those things. And that's the next one. It keeps no record of wrongs. You know, love doesn't look to get even. It's not what love's about. Love's about forgiveness, not to get even. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Again, it builds up, it encourages, it doesn't tear down. It doesn't put people down. It expresses the gospel message is what we're spreading. It expresses that message in word and the things we do. It always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love's the foundation of everything. It's the foundation of everything. It says love never fails. Whatever we do, if it's in love, it's not going to fail. It's with the right motive. It's the right heart. It's with the right God-centered attitude that we have to have. And it ends with faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And why is that? Because faith, the object of faith, is going to be revealed. We'll know Jesus when He comes, when He returns. We won't have to have that anymore. It'll be revealed. The hope we have will be realized. He'll be there in front of us. The hope we've waited on will come to fruition. But love will be unending because God is love. Love's the only thing that will stay. You know, when kids first notice, if we go back to people, when kids first notice each other, they fall in puppy love, we call it. You know, things are great and it's cute and things, you know, and they pass out the little paper Valentines they cut out and things and maybe stick a candy kiss on it or something and share. Some of the kids had Valentines from other kids, not necessarily girls and guys, but friends. Then the love develops where you just want to be with each other. You want to do things. Then you want to be with each other all the time. And, you know, sometimes not wisely. Remember the blizzard of 78. It was a little more snow. Everybody kept talking about snow we just got. 78 wasn't not even close to 1978 and the blizzard we got. Well, I walked from my house in Harmony to Joni's house twice. Like I said, not necessarily white, but felt like uphill both ways, as they say. Just wanted to see her. You know, people asking out the door, "Are you all right?" I'm fine. Just walking to my girlfriend's house. Oh, love continued to grow until we were married in 1981. Married since 81. Dated since 77. So that love's been there for almost 50 years. So, as far as other people go, hopefully I've shown some of the love attributes that we've mentioned today. The patience, not envious, not self-seeking, the kindness. That's God's kind of love. God has agape love. He doesn't ask for things in return. He loves despite those things that may be wrong with us. He loves despite us failing time after time again to be obedient to what he wants us to do. Agape loves giving love. Even if nothing comes back in return. You know, sometimes love changes over time between people. Friendships change, love changes. It may not be the exciting kind of love as it was in the beginning, but it's a love created from growing together and knowing about each other and giving to each other. But it's not just contained to spouses. Everyone can have that kind of love. You know, when you first meet someone, you know, it's exciting and you get to learn about each other. Then sometimes it just kind of grows a little stale. But, you know, sometimes people do all the right things. You know, they're faithful, they're true, but the spark is kind of gone and it's not as exciting as it used to be. You know, people are still together, friends are still together, but maybe just going through the motions. They don't feel what they felt before, or not as strong. And we need to remember what that was like, you know, when we first had that puppy love, so to speak, or that first love we had. We need to, I'll use the word repent, because repent means change directions, change your mind, do something different, you know, change your priorities. And then we need to repeat the love we had at the beginning and remember that and go back to that. And, you know, part of that was, you know, constantly thinking about that person and the things about them that you loved about them and just having the desire to be with them and sharing and giving yourself to them. And with that, I want to close before our invitation with Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 2, 1 through 5. He wrote to the churches, and this was to the church of Ephesus. So Revelation 2, 1 through 5 says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have preserved and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." I kind of paraphrase a little in my words. God says, boy, we sure loved each other when we first met. It was awesome. I sure miss those days. Seems like the spark has at least dimmed a little. We're still together, But it seems like we just go through the motions sometimes. Maybe we're just comfortable. Maybe taking things for granted. You know, maybe why don't you love me like you used to? You know, we still have a relationship, and you've done so many great things, but you've forsaken that love you had at first. You don't remember it. You've lost that joy, that feeling, that trust, that type of love you had at first, that all-in type of love. So I ask, how is your love life? Not just with people, but with God. How's your love life? Is it as it was at first, or has it grown dim? You can get it back. You know, love is what we're called to do. We're called to love. It should be what we desire to do. We desire it back. We have to give it. It's what we should give to God, because He sure gives it to us. Remember those love songs I mentioned before? Didn't mention all of them, but several of them. Do you know the most used love song worldwide that's ever been used? It was a poem, as many were, that was turned into a song. That most used song was "Jesus Loves Me." Jesus Loves Me. Most song, the word love, I think. I'll close with John 3:16. You all know it. It's in the bulletin. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." God gave all. God gives us so much. He gives us everything good for us that He has. And He loves every day for everyone. Not just one day a year. In an eternity for those who believe. My last close. It's a poem. "God's Love is the Reason." It's by a poet called Catherine Pulsifer. It says, "Valentine's Day is more than hearts. It's where true love got its start. God gave us Jesus, His only Son, a gift of love for everyone. He showed us how to truly give through sacrifice so we could live. Because of Him, love flows today in all we do and all we say. So as you celebrate and share, remember it's God's love is always there. His gift of Jesus, pure and true, is the greatest love for me and you." Let's pray.